we're entirely Bane of part 5. We were still in the middle last time of the fourth topic, which is the topic of the anchor. I want to do a very quick review of what the topic of the anchor was. In Hebrew it's called an ogen, and then continue from where we were. So we spoke about the idea of when a person is in a challenge with a desire, then we quoted the Gemara in Adarim that says that the mind is hijacked. A person loses focus of who he is, what he is, what he's supposed to be doing, and we gave the mashal of being swept away, where a person like stops thinking. And even if he thinks you shouldn't do this, the overwhelming desire arrests the mind to a point where a person isn't able to clearly think. And it's almost like what the Midrash said, it's almost like he doesn't even remember he has the Eitz HaTov at that point. It's so overwhelming. So we're looking for a solution to that. And the solution that we're looking for is, how can a person have something stable and solid, an anchor, which will enable him to remain strong when he feels like he's being rushed away? If a person is able to find something which is very clear that he can hold on to, and he can say, I do this, and therefore it's not fitting for me to fall, then he'll be able to pull himself out. And we gave the cute story, the true story of the Jew who would eat Shmura Matzah all week as a mashal. He is someone who would say to himself, I have a particular chumrah. My chumrah is that I eat Shmura Matzah all week. How could I go and do this? Now that's an example that we gave. But everyone here can have a very particular area, which their area they've invested in and they've looked into. We gave the example of having a mitzvah which you declare as your mitzvah, which you invest in and you make your mitzvah. We quote the Rambam that says that when someone has a mitzvah, that's their entry into all the mitzvahs. We said, what does that mean? But now we understand what that means. When a person has one particular mitzvah which they're specially makpid on, and that mitzvah they have an affinity to, and they like to associate themselves with, and they always like to talk about it. And then when they feel they're falling, they say, me, a person who's careful about, or has a chumrah in, and then everyone can say their own particular area. Once you have one area of strength, then you're strong and you can rise above it. Mashallah ma'adavadomen, if you come to a Shabbos table, in the times before you used to have guests, if you come to a Shabbos table, and you don't have any very particular area of interest, then you're going to sit there and just kind of nod and agree with people, and they go, what do you have to say? Oh yeah, very nice food. And you kind of feel like you're floundering there. But if you have one sugya, anything in the world, it could be a Torah sugya, it could be a non-Torah sugya, it doesn't make a difference what it is, but there's one sugya that you're holding in, one particular topic which is like your topic, then wherever you find yourself, you can always like be stable. Someone will say to you, oh, what do you do? And you say, oh, I have an interest in this topic. Oh, really? I never heard of that. Tell me about it. And you can go into your topic and just speak about your topic. Now, obviously, choose something which other people could find interesting as well, or, you know, understand other people, but you'll have a stability there. Because you have your topic, and I have my topic, and I can talk about my topic wherever I am, wherever I go. I'm always able to engage interest by virtue of my topic that I have. That's an anchor. That means that when you're floundering, you don't know what to do or where to go, you can always hold strong by virtue of the anchor that you have. That's what we spoke about last time. Broadly. I want to learn together the Gemara and Sota, where we see that Yosef used an anchor. And there's a tremendous limud that comes out of this story that we can learn from Yosef on two different levels. The Gemara and Sota daf lamed vav amud beis. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna amar Bishimon Chasida Yosef kidesh shem shemayim v'seter. Yosef made a kiddush Hashem in private. Hosifu alav ot achad mishmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They added a letter of God's name to him. Skipping a little bit. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnehem ledevar aveir nitkavnu. We're talking about Yosef and Eshet Potiphar. Both of them intended to do an aveir. Ve'avo abayta lasot melachto. It says in the Torah that when Yosef came to do his work, what was his work? It's a machloka between Rav and Shmuel. Chad amar lasot melachto mamash. One says that he came to do his work literally. And some say that he came to have relations with Eshet Potiphar. And it goes on and it says there was no one in the house. The next part, everyone's familiar with Rashi. Where was everyone else? She cornered him. She found a day when everyone was going to go out to the Avodah Zorah. And she said, I have no opportunity like this opportunity. She pretended she was sick and she remained at home to catch Yosef. Vetitpasu bevigdo. Chazal say a very interesting thing. Not here. The Chazal say that what does it mean she grabbed him by his clothing? It means that because earlier on we learned that Yosef dressed up and he made himself look nice, so she grabbed him by his clothing. Meaning by his clothing, by virtue of the sin that Yosef did of making himself look nice, fancy, then she was able to grab him through that. Meaning spiritually, that left an opening that left him open for the sin to come. We give an opening to enter the sin. Ba'oto sha'a, now listen to this anchor. Ba'oto sha'a ba'ata dikono shel aviv. At that moment, at that, meaning according to Chazal, there's one opinion that he chose to go into the house with the mindset of going to do an avera. And at that moment, the image of his father came to him. V'nirata lo b'chalon, v'amar lo, Yosef, atidin achicha shiyichtevu al avnei efod. Yosef, in the future, all your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the ephod. V'ata b'nehem, and you are still amongst them. Now, recognize what's happening. Yosef is going to sin. He's decided that he wants to sin. He's entered the house to sin. Now I'm going to add over here the Midrash Tanchuma that says, even a harsher statement, Allah ima lemita. He'd already entered the bed with her. Ubikesh atzmo. So we're talking about a case where someone went with the intention to sin. He found himself an opportunity where there's nothing holding him back. And he'd already begun the action. He entered the bed. Chazal say that he was able to stop there. Now, if you could find an example of someone who's in the flow and being washed away and there's nothing to stop him, Yosef was the example. He had desire, she had desire, and they'd already got as far as they'd got. And there's nothing holding them back. But he saw the image of his father. Now listen carefully, what did his father say to him in the image? Not just that he saw his father, but his father said something. What did his father say? His father said, Yosef, you are still written amongst your brothers on the effort. His father was saying to him, you're still a tzaddik. His father was saying to him, it doesn't make a difference how far you've gone. It doesn't make a difference that you awaken desire. It doesn't make a difference that you've begun an action. Right now, you haven't done anything wrong yet. I mean, fully. You can stop yourself now. His father saw him in a way that he was still written on the effort. V'ata b'nehem, and you are amongst them. Rutzolcha shimcha shimcha b'nehem. Do you want to carry on with the act that you've begun doing and wipe out your name? It's not enough just to have an image. But what is the image saying to you? For Yosef, the image of his father was an image of, I believe in you, and I believe in your gadlut. I believe in your righteousness. I believe in your level. And it doesn't make a difference that you've gone this far. That doesn't determine you as being bad. What is it that causes a person to carry on with the flow and sin? The mindset is, well, I've begun, so I have to finish. I've gone this far, I'm already a rush. And if I'm at this point already, then like, there's no hope for me anyway. But the anchor that Yosef had was an anchor of a belief that his father believed in him, or really, he believed in himself. He just used his father as the image. It doesn't make a difference how far you've gone, you're still written on the effort. And he was able to hold back. But it says one more thing that he did. That wasn't enough. It says, Na'atz yadav bekarka. He inserted, he pierced his fingers in the ground. He grabbed hold of the ground. V'yatza shichvat zerem. Rashi says, Nismach aleihem. He rested his hands on his fingers. Kedei sheyit yaser. In order to cause himself a little bit of pain. The yitra'ad b'tzaro, and then he'll notice, ow, this is sore. The yavor tokef yitra'ad, and then the yitzahara will pass. The yitzahara, we described, I think, two sessions ago, is like a hurricane, like a tornado. It passes. If you're caught in the middle of it, you could get destroyed. But if you're able to have an anchor which you hold on to, you're able to hold on to something stable and permanent, then the tornado passes. It doesn't remain forever. We need to build an anchor. We need to find some sort of an anchor that we can build. And what you see from this Gemara is there's two stages in the anchor. Stage number one is a belief, and stage number two is an action. You need them both. The belief is, I am essentially good. I am essentially pure. And even if I've got
so far to this stage and the desire is overwhelming and I've reached this stage and it's so far, I can still stop. There's no rule that because I've begun, I have to continue. There's no rule that if I started making a bad choice, I have to make another bad choice. We gave the example once of someone who invested and their stock goes down. So they say, oh no, my stock went down, what do I do? And in a sense of justifying themselves, they say, well, hopefully it will go up soon. And they stay in the bad stock and it goes down and down and down. Be wise, be intelligent. If you've seen that you're in a failing investment, pull out. The first stage is the belief, I'm still good, I'm essentially good. Yosef is called the tzaddik. Now, just to get clarity, someone who, according to one opinion, went to the home to sin. He had the mindset to sin. He rose up into the bed, according to Tel Chomer, to sin. And he's still called the tzaddik. Why is he called the tzaddik? Someone who went so far in his desires, who even started acting on his desires, he's called a tzaddik. Because you see that a tzaddik is determined not by the strength of the desire that comes to a person, not even by them initially acting on it, but by their recognizing that they're essentially good and stop it. We have that power to stop. But we need an anchor. Yosef's anchor was the belief. We are like a modern day Yosef. We also are in times where sometimes there's an overwhelming desire which is hard to stop and hold back. Sometimes it's like, I've already got this far, and just like Yosef, there's no one else around. And just like Yosef, it's very tempting. And just like Yosef, we've already begun and got as far as we've got to. And just like Yosef, we can stop. We can have an anchor. And the anchor is, we have the image of, I am great. I believe in myself. I'm essentially pure, I'm essentially good. And as well as that, do an action. What's an action? You can choose an action. You know the famous Gemara of Rav Amram Chasida, the end of Kiddushin, where there were some women who were staying in his attic, and he saw the image of them, and he picked up this enormous heavy ladder to take it over to climb to where they were, and he started shouting, there's a fire in the house of Amram, there's a fire in the house of Amram. Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph. And the Gemara says there, what did he do? And also there it says exactly like the same as what Rashi said here. It says that he stood firmly on the ground and dug his feet into the ground so that he would have a physical action to stabilize him until someone came to stop him from going back. Again, an action he did. He did something specific. He did a specific physical action. So everyone can create for themselves both the belief and the action, and you need both, following Yosef HaTzadik. And you're called the Tzadik no matter how far you went. The belief is, I'm essentially pure, I'm essentially good. That's the belief. The second stage is do an action. Now you can choose an action. Anything, very simple. You could hold your tzitzis. You could clench your fingers. But you need some other go-to that you do when you're about to sin. So the person is alone in their room at night and they feel they're about to sin. If they choose a specific thing that they do, I'm going to hold the side of the bed. I'm going to clench my fingers together. I'm going to pinch my cheek. Don't do something, you know, too painful. But just, you have to have some go-to that you do. Your hands are doing something now inappropriate. What are you going to do with it? Find something else to do. In a different area entirely, not in the area of Arias, but one of my children recently was picking all the time their skin on their lip. And you know, sometimes if someone does that during the week, they do it on Shabbos as well. And then it's a real problem because what do? But it's very hard not to because, like, what do you do with your hands afterwards? They just kind of go back there again. And then you put, okay, I'm putting my hands down here now. They just go back. So what do? So I taught my children to do this. Figure out how to do this on your own, but I told them how to do this, and they're like, how do you do that? And they're trying to figure it out this way, that way, with the fingers, and like, what did you do? And they're like, I was showing them with my fingers how I did it, and they're like, oh, that's really cool, and they were showing all their friends how they can do this, and I said, so from now you have a go-to, you have an action that you can go to do. When you feel your fingers going there, you just bring the other hand up and go do that, and it's really cool, and they do it all the time now. But it's so fun, they do it. But they have another go-to. It's hard when the person's in the middle of doing a forbidden action just to stop and do nothing. So what do I do now? I don't know what to do. And then the default is just to go back to the forbidden action. But if you have, now make up your own thing. But first have a belief. I'm essentially pure, I'm essentially good. Second stage is, you have some physical action like Yosef, like Amram Chasida, but something physical that you have a go-to to do so that you can involve yourself in something else. I want to tell now a Shalom Bayis tip, which I share with Hassanim, And it's relevant in Shalom Bayis, but it's also relevant in our topic as well. Very often, when I learn with a Chatan, and we do Shalom Bayis classes, there's three parts to our classes. One part is Hilchos Nidah, one part is the night of the wedding, and then one part is Shalom Bayis in general. And I used to do kind of more broad general advice, but I found that it's not always relevant, because different people have different relationships and different issues, and it wasn't always so relevant. So I changed my method, and I said, you know, you share with me a point of conflict that you've had, or a point of interest that you've had in the relationship, and we'll take it from there, because it's likely that whatever came up in engagement will probably come up again in other forms when you get married. And again, I've had the topic in different forms, the topic of where he wants something and she wants something else, and he feels, so what, am I just going to be mevater to her? So I know it's good to be mevater, but like, how much can you be mevater? Like, all your life? And then I feel like it's going to come back, and like, I'm going to like snap at her at some point. That's a topic that always comes again and again. And really, it's true. It's not a guideline in Judaism to be mevater again and again and again and again. Because if a person's not fully in that place, and they feel, I have to be mevater, then it's like pushing down a spring, where you push it down once, and you push it down again, and you push it down again. Eventually the spring takes revenge against you, and it pops right back up again. And that's really unpleasant in Shalom Bayis. You don't want to get to that place. And this same topic is also true with holding back desire. The person has desire to do something inappropriate. And they say, okay, I'm going to mitgaber. I'm going to overcome it. And I'm, oh, what a gibor I was, I overcame it. Push down the spring. I'm gonna overcome again. Oh, push down the spring. Eventually, well, it can explode. Because I'm sure a person at a weak spot, a weak point, could say, like, how many times can I be about there? Can I be mitgaber? How many times can I overtake this power? So, what's the advice? What's the guide? What's the Jewish approach? So, when you have a husband and you have a wife, and she wants A and he wants B, if you say to him, she wants A, cancel B, that's very hard. You can do it once or twice, but it's not natural. It's not going to last long term. But if you say, I'm not telling you to cancel B. B makes a lot of sense. Often, just from a male perspective, it's a lot more logical than A. A lot more logical than A. You're like, where did that come from? But okay. So, you have to know about that, but that's not going to work. So what do you do? So maybe instead of saying, I'm cancelling my choice, maybe you can choose something higher. Instead of saying, my choice isn't worth anything, even though I know it is, and hers doesn't make any sense, right? So you can say, I could choose this point, or I could choose something else. Something else which happens to fall in line with her, but it's my choice. It makes sense to me, and I want it. And actually, if you ask me, between this B and my other new plus A, you know, my super A, I'd rather go with my super A, because something that I believe in more. What's this super A? What is that? What is that super A that's not me cancelling my choice, but it's... So in the case of Shalom Bayis, it's Shalom. I don't agree with her way of doing it. It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. Only a woman could think such an idea. But on the other hand, it's important to me to have Shalom Bayis. And you know what? If I think about it, having Shalom Bayis is even more important to me than having my way. And if I'm going to choose between having my way and having peace and harmony in the home, I'm choosing that harmony in the home. And if harmony in the home means doing her way, okay, we'll do her way. But it's worth it. Because I'm choosing to have peace in the home. Now, I'm not being mevater. I'm not being mitgaber. I'm not even cancelling my way. I'm choosing my way. I'm choosing to have peace in the home. There's no conflict. It doesn't push down any spring. Because I'm choosing to have peace in the home, which means that she gets to do what she wants, and I get to do what I want. Have a harmonious home. That's an example of Shalom Bayis. Let's take it back to desire. When a person has desire to do something inappropriate, and they try and every time, mitgaber, 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 it could be that eventually it will spring back. That's unhealthy. But if you, instead of saying, I'm going to overcome the desire, you say, I'm choosing something higher. I'm choosing something of value. What are you choosing? Now, there's different things you could choose here. I'm going to give one example. One thing you could choose is, I'm choosing to have a deep relationship with Hashem. I'm choosing to have a pure mind. I'm choosing to have self-control. I want to show how I'm a gibor. I had one Rebbe who, used, when he was a boy, he used to sleep in the mornings. He used to sleep in. And his father came to him and he used to say to him, "Ata gibor?" And he was like a big macho, this Rebbe. Today he's macho. And so he's like, "Can I be gibor?" So, okay, boni reotcha. And he's like lying in bed. You're not a Gibor, you're weak.
I'm not weak.
Like he couldn't take that someone calling weak. I'm not weak, I'll show you. You're weak, look at you lying down.
I need Gibor.
Go, let's see. And he would get up. Now if his father would say to him, you're lazy, he would say, Nachon, I'm lazy. He'd say, you went to bed late. Yeah, I'm going to bed late. What can I do? But when he said to him, let's connect it to a higher value. What higher value do you believe in? So for him, it was proving that he's strong. You're proving you're strong. Let's see if you're really strong. Get out of bed. Oh, that got him out of bed because he believed it. It was a value. He wasn't being mavater. He wasn't being mavater. He was proving a higher value that he had. Choose a higher value. I want to be pure. I want to have machshava tova. I want to have davening with an open connection with Hashem. I want to learn with more clarity. Now, if you're lying in bed and you're struggling with a desire, and you're thinking, should I give in or shouldn't I give in? It's not much of a battle. It's there's pleasure over here and there's or not. Well, what's the other choice? Not to have pleasure. Okay, so then obviously even if one may fail there. No, I have to be strong. And that's gonna be strong. But if you create a new, higher value that you believe in. I want to be able to learn. Well, I want to be able to daven with kavanah. I want to show that I'm strong. I want to have self-control. You choose a value that you believe in, that you make your value that you're working on. That it's not being mevater. It's not you having to give in again. It's your proving how strong you are in the area that you believe in. I'll finish with one story. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Aleph, that speaks about Mar Ukva. And it says that Mar Ukva had a shining over his head. And Rashi says, what is this referring to, the shining over his head? And he tells the following story. Mar Ukva fell in love with a married woman. And the desire that he had for her was so strong that he became sick. And he wanted to, but he held back. One day, she needed money. And she came to him to ask for money, and she offered him her services in order to seduce him so that he would be willing to give her money. Just like Yosef HaTzadik, alone in the house, no one else around. Alone in the house, no one else around. Nothing to hold him back. He has desire, she's offering. What's going to keep him strong now? Kavash Yitzro upatra leshalom v'nitrape. He strengthened himself, he exited her to the door, and he was healed. What does that word, he was healed, mean? If a person overcomes the desire, then the desire goes away. It's like a storm that passes. It doesn't continue to bug you forever. It doesn't hound you down. And from that day on, whenever he would go out to the marketplace, whenever he would go outside, people would see there was a light over his head. And they called him Tzutzita, the one who shines light. This is just an example of an anchor where you see that if you have a desire, a higher value, of wanting there to be light in your life, a connection to Hashem, be able to learn Torah clearly. This is Mar Ukva in the Gemara. Mar Ukva. Even great people suffer with these things, but they overcome them, they become great. If you wish to become great, then these are the opportunities that Hashem sends you of having a belief system in yourself that I'm worthy and I'm valuable, and even if I started tripping up, I can still choose to do good and reach high levels, the belief, and two, an action, some specific grounded action. Holding my tzitzis, clenching my fists together, whatever it is that you choose, but choose something so that at the time of challenge, you'll have something very specific that you can do. Yishakor.